You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Wednesday, 21st April. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, chatting with Chantal Marx, PSG had results out and also buying back their pref shares. That's curious. I wonder if we don't maybe see more of that. John Anderson from Alexander Forbes, Optimal Offshore Allocations, and Elza Boerter from Old Mutual. They're going to be doing ESG ratings across all their different funds. I'm keen to dig into that. Our poll yesterday, which we asked you on Twitter and LinkedIn MoneyWeb accounts, we were chatting with Gary Boyson about the bumper crops and potential agri investments. He liked Zeta. The question to you was, are you buying into the theme? 18% of you said, yep, already in some profit. 32% said, no, too volatile. 50% of you said, not convinced. Yowza. MoneyWeb Now brought to you by Orbvest, a global real estate company that has a hyper-focus on acquiring stable, income-producing medical buildings in the USA. Investors use Orbvest's online platform to invest directly into low-risk commercial real estate, primarily in the healthcare niche in the USA, from as little as $5,000. Some morning headlines from MoneyWeb. Absa CEO exit, board faces serious questions. When Maria Ramos left and they didn't have a CEO for an age, they got a succession strategy problem. Current CEO only been there 16 months. And then Business Day, long for life, hints at possible unbundling as it looks to unlock shareholder value. This confuses me because they were consolidating, and now suddenly they're going to unbundle it. I suppose that's Brian Joffe just, you know, trying to extract value any way he can. Morning markets are red. US S&P was down 0.7, Nasdaq off 0.9. Across in Asia, Sydney's off 1.2 and Tokyo down 2.1. Gold 1778, Rand 1431. Top 40 opening call looking for about 100 points down. That's about 0.15%.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Chantal Marx. She is Head Research, F&B Wealth and Investment. Chantal, morning. Appreciate your time. PSG came out with results yesterday. They also came out with an announcement that, in essence, they want to delist their preference share. They're going to pay 81 Rand for it. The pref jumped about, 13 or so percent. That is a premium to the current price. I get why PSG is doing this. I mean, you know, they're buying it below sort of its value on its balance sheet. They've got some cash there. Are we going to see more of these pref shares perhaps exiting the market?
Well, I think my first inclination would be to say yes, because there really isn't much motivation for a company to keep this on their capital, in their capital structure. So if you think about prefs, they are a lot more attractive for investors to hold than they are for companies to issue. So for investors, you get a dividend payment instead of an interest payment. It behaves like a bond. It's linked to prime. It gives you a pretty steady income. But if you are a company issuing these prefs, you do have to pay that fixed income. It's perpetual in many cases, which means that you have to pay it forever, unless you actually do what PSG are doing. And I think that currently it probably makes sense for companies to take this route.
Yeah, and to your point, I mean, investors quite like them. I mean, that's an unfortunate situation for the investing world, because we're just going to have less option. It's a nice way to get some decent income, and depending on your tax status, it can be a more effective tax way if you're earning a lot of interest already.
Yes, absolutely, because you're paying dividend withholding tax instead of income tax or your marginal tax rate, which is what you would be paying on an instrument that pays you interest like a bond, or even an alternative tier one note, which is kind of the new prefs issued by banks. And I mean, of course, I think perhaps a few decades ago had an entirely different role to play. In South Africa, a lot of the companies that own prefs are more mature companies. Preference shares make a lot of sense for companies that have a lot of debt to begin with, and that are trying to find ways to fund growth. But they don't make much sense in a space where many of the companies are quite mature, and growth is quite hard to come by. And then for banks, of course, preference shares or perpetual preference shares, those that never ever expire, formed part of their regulatory capital requirements. Yeah. And following the global financial crisis and following adjustments to bank regulations globally, that's no longer the case. So I think even in banks, while I think redeemable preference shares for corporate funding purposes could still make sense for banks, I think some of these perpetual preference shares, shareholders can also expect offers from the banks for their prefs.
A quick last question. The PSG results themselves, I mean, to me, the key standout feature was what was missing, which was Capitec. It's a much more, you know, Capitec used to absolutely dominate. You know, now it's PSG Consulted 35%. PSG Alpha is now 18% of the business. A much more sort of fair spread of assets rather than really just a proxy for Capitec.
Yes, I absolutely agree. I actually think that this makes the business a little bit more exciting, yeah. Particularly that big chunky holding or valuation for PSG Alpha, which is really where the new growth and the new ideas are coming from. My only concern is Mr. Moton sounded very depressed on the webcast yesterday.
He did.
and if your tone is that negative, it's very difficult for me to buy the story. And I really want to buy the story because these guys have the ability, the proven ability to build fantastic businesses.
Yeah, and I take your point. I listened to the webcast as well, and he did not sound like a happy, excited CEO, which is unfortunate. Chantal Marx, Head Research, FNB Wealth and Investments. Appreciate the early morning.
You've worked hard to accumulate wealth, but with these uncertain times, how can you preserve and grow your wealth in a safer place?
Offshore.
While earning regular quarterly dividends in US dollars. The solution is here. Hundreds of investors from across South Africa are investing in specialized medical real estate in the USA, sourced by a highly skilled team who make it easy for you. Orbvest SA, an authorized FSP.
Visit orbvest.com.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
Checking in with Ilse Botha. She is Managing Director, Old Mutual Unit Trust. Ilse, good morning. Appreciate your time. Environmental, social, governance, ESG. We've chatted before around the ESG unit trusts that Old Mutual has launched. You come out with it with a new sort of strategy, in a sense, where you're actually going to look across your range of unit trusts available and actually rate all of them in terms of their environmental, social and governance scores.
Good morning. Absolutely, Simon. We are very excited about this initiative. Old Mutual Wealth is the first platform in South Africa to publish ESG ratings for our local unit trusts. We are working with MSCI on scores on the environment, on social justice, and also on governance, in order to give clients and advisors a better view of what they are buying. So we are very excited about that. We started with our internal funds, but we are definitely going to reach out to our external fund managers to participate in this process.
And what's great about this, as I mentioned, we've certainly got some ESG funds in South Africa. Truthfully, not many, but there are some out there. So an investor who wants to have an ESG bias can go off and buy that particular fund. What you're going to say is, we score every fund. So now as an investor, I can look across that range of funds and say, well, I like that, but it's not a great ESG score, and I like that one, and there's a better score. It suddenly just it fundamentally changes our ability to invest with that ESG conscience.
Absolutely, Simon. What we are seeing more and more from investors is there's a complete consciousness about the environment. People are looking at recycling, they're looking at using less plastic, and they are becoming more conscious about their surroundings, and that was heightened in 2020. When we saw the pandemic, people are now really looking further. And people are saying investing for profit is not enough anymore. Mm-hmm. We want to have an underlying view of the companies you're investing in, and with this new scoring system, that will enable them to do that. And we've seen great growth in ESG. In 2020, we saw ESG indexation funds grow by 221% to $189 billion US. So there is continued growth in these funds. There were 200 new ESG funds launched in 2020 alone. So we can see there's definitely appetite for this philosophy in growing in the world.
Yeah, and certainly investor appetite. And I mean, the stark reality is that these funds with a higher ESG rating do tend to do better than their conventional peers. I mean, this isn't just a great story. It's, having a social conscience and caring about the environment and about good corporate governance actually does matter. It, in time, relates into profit and therefore returns for the investor.
Absolutely. Usually companies that have got that ESG consciousness have got low cost to capital, a better resource efficiency, they're stronger in the innovation elements, they've got a better social license to operate, access to markets. And we've seen that in mutual and indexation funds, they outperform their peers by a median total return of 4.3% at the lowest standard deviation as well. So it's not just doing good for the environment. There's definitely an upside in returns as well.
And you make the point. I mean, you said you've worked with MSCI. They're obviously a large index developer globally, in a sense. And I suppose part of that trick is it's around getting some standardization so that when I, if we all rush off and do our own sort of ESGs as an investor, I look at it and I don't know necessarily what your ESG means versus somebody else. My sense from what you're doing with MSCI and Ord Mutual is kind of moving towards a standard where an investor gets what that sticker means when they see ESG.
Absolutely, Simon. So what we saw what we're seeing more in the UN is we're seeing that Europeans are actually starting to have a standard on how to rate funds so that you don't just get greenwashing. We initially thought of developing our own standard at Old Mutual, but we thought it's kind of like marking your own homework. So we looked, there are two providers that we looked at, but we were very comfortable with the MSCI methodology. We're comfortable with how they rate all the various elements of funds, and hence we decided to go this route. And I think in South Africa, with some of the work that TISA is doing, with some of the work National Treasury are doing, there's definitely a greater conscience about ESG and about really, really looking to it and not just with greenwashing funds.
I love that phrase, greenwashing. I think that's going to become a much more used phrase as we move and get more into the ESG space. Nozobota, Managing Director, Old Mutual Unit Trusts, appreciate your time.
MoneyWeb now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with John Anderson. He's an executive investments, products and enablement at Alexander Forbes. John, morning. Appreciate the time. You did a webcast yesterday morning, which I attended, looking at optimal sort of offshore investment. How much should we optimally have? And I went into it and I thought, surely you're not going to tell me that the number is 52% or something. And it isn't, because there really isn't, your offshore requirement isn't one size fits all. It really is about who are you, what's your objective, and your goals. And they will all have those different requirements.
Yeah, that's right. Good morning, Simon. You're absolutely right. I think, when people invest, they often look at, what's the best return. Mm-hmm. But actually what you need to first ask yourself is, why am I investing? So what is my objective? So each objective will have a different goal. And based on that, you'll have a different time horizon, risk tolerance, and then also where you need to actually place the money to get those returns. Different goals could be for retirement, for wealth, emergency savings, education, or just for that holiday for, the next, post-COVID when everybody is going to go offshore.
And that was the other thing that struck me is typically when my lazy thinking, I suppose, around investing is that we're investing for retirement. And that's not completely wrong, but actually there are lots of other reasons. I mean, it could be if you've got a young family, that might be tertiary education for your children. As you say, holidays, when we can travel again. There's pockets of different funds that each have a different purpose and therefore need to be in the right currency, need to be in the right duration. And it almost starts to become not complicated, but certainly in some cases I can see a spreadsheet being used by some people.
Yeah, and each goal will have a different, the different optimal investment. But even for retirement, I think, retirement is probably the main goal for most people, because mm-hmm. it takes decades to save sufficiently to have enough, at that particular point in time. But also your goal before retirement and after is quite different. Before retirement, you're trying to accumulate, assets,
mm-hmm.
and that requires a specific asset allocation depending on your risk preference, etc. Also, your where you reside, where you plan to retire, and then after retirement, the goal is different. In retirement, people need to look at: am I providing an income, or do I want to leave a legacy?
Yeah.
Or do I want a combination of those two? And then based on how much you've saved, those goals and your risk preference, you then end up with an optimal asset allocation. So you're quite right. For every person, there's different optimal mix.
Yeah, and I like that point that was made in that event. The goal in retirement is money to spend. But for many people, it's also, what about that legacy? What about the heirs? And at the end of the day, what it kind of boiled down to is it's around balance. And that balance comes from a couple of points. Firstly, it's not either 100% offshore or 100% local. There's a balance there. There's also a balance between the asset classes. In other words, your equity, your sort of bond and near cash. Balancing wins out over the long term. And you had the data which fundamentally proves this.
No, exactly. And I think, the last year is a good example. Over the last year, from 1 April to 31 March, we had a look at, people just invested in SA equities or just invested in cash. The difference between those two is massive. If you invested R1 million a year ago in cash, you would have had R1,045,000, because interest rates are quite low. If you'd invested in South African equities, despite all the negativity and issues that we've seen, you would have ended up with 1.5 million.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is we're investing over, long periods, and you do want the growth. The problem is growth comes with volatility, and people can't stomach that. And therefore, you need to, as you say, balance and diversify. And also, because we don't have a crystal ball, we don't know what the future will be, you should never place investments in just one thing. You should try and plan for various future outcomes, so that you don't have a binary outcome. And what that means is you do need to have some in equities, some in cash, some in bonds, and then some in local and offshore, and then getting the mix right is quite important. And then staying the course actually over time is probably one of the biggest issues once you've diversified, not to get knee-jerk react to market sentiment movements, which often destroys quite a lot of value.
Yeah, it's that staying that course, which is often hard, although you did make the point that last year folks managed to do it quite well, although you also made the point, perhaps because we were distracted by a pandemic. We'll leave that there. John Anderson, Executive Investments, Products and Enablement, Alexander Forbes. Appreciate the early morning. The show is brought to you by Orbvest's latest investment opportunity, Medical 32, a multi-tenanted Class A medical office building located in Jacksonville, Florida. For more information, visit orbvest.com. Orbvest SA, authorized financial service provider, license number 50483. The poll today, chatting with Managing Director Old Mutual Unit Trusts on their environmental, social and governance rating for their funds. This certainly is a rising trend locally and globally, absolutely, more globally at this point, but it'll get here locally. Is this something you care about when you are buying a fund or a stock? We're putting the poll out on our Twitter account, our LinkedIn account at MoneyWeb. Options, yes, absolutely, a little. Perhaps you just care about the returns or not at all. I think it is something that's going to grow. We need that standardization. I love Dolz's comment about greenwashing. We need to make sure that's not happening. But we're going to get more conscious about it. And it is, if done properly, it gives that return. We just got to make sure it's done properly, which is why I think what Old Mutual's doing, where they kind of rate all of their funds, is going to be a great step in that direction. So yes, a little, just want returns, not at all. You'll find that on Twitter or on LinkedIn. That's it for today. We're live every weekday morning on the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast is available just after 7 a.m. again on the website, the app, or wherever great podcasts are aggregated. Massive thanks to my team, Eddie, Cordora, Nicole, Matapela, for you listening, and my guests for their early morning contributions. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.